Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's stamps.com/program.
Okay, you just read me something. Where did you get that from?
From Gina Trotman from now, Channel 7. Formerly yep. Channel 7, sorry. She's great. She's awesome. But she had tweeted out, says Holly Campbell, Dan Campbell's wife,
yep,
continues to be social media gold. She posted a video from the holidays with Dan saving a coffee before it spilled, and someone asked, what can he do? And she replied, punt.
That is so great.
It's awesome.
Good for her. All right, so we both have some data that could impact this game. What do you got?
So the data that I have says that when it comes to, and this comes from Doug Clawson, who works for CBS Sports as a researcher, Brian Flores, defense coordinator, has blitzed Jared Goff 68% of the time in the three matchups in the last 2 years. Goff has carved up the blitz, 77% completion percentage, 8.8 yards per attempt, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, and he's been sacked just once on the 70 times that he's dropped back versus Flores' blitz.
That's incredible.
That is incredible.
Because Flores is, I mean, where he,
this one is the Vikings' defense, is that they're hyper-aggressive and they blitz all the time.
Yeah, and if you look at Flores, I mean, Flores was the defensive coordinator against Goff in the Super Bowl when Flores was with the Patriots, and they completely rattled Jared Goff by going off script, breaking tendencies, and really mixing up their coverages. And Jared Goff struggled in that game. I remember previewing it when they played the Vikings the first time, and we discussed how Flores really handled Goff in that Super Bowl. That was a 13-3 Super Bowl that New England won. First time around, though, as it turned out, he did pretty well. The other weird thing about this game, and there's a Ben Johnson soundbite about it. Ben Johnson was the wide receiver coach in Miami in 2018. They fired their coach. Brian Flores came in and told Ben Johnson, we don't need you anymore. Ben Johnson then latched on. Ben Johnson latches on with the Lions as an offensive analyst. Flores, 3 years in Miami, gets fired. Now Flores is in Minnesota calling the defense, and Ben Johnson's calling the offense in Detroit. Now, look, we'll play. Ben Johnson was asked about this week, and we'll play it for you.
I love it.
But you want to fire him, huh? Well, what's great about this is, of course, Brian Flores can bring in his own guys. Of course, sure. Any head coach can.
Sure.
But again,
if you want to cultivate a chip on the shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah, but he fired Ben Johnson, Doug.
He fired Ben Johnson.
Said, you can't do that.
We don't need you.
Yep.
That's a colossal mistake. But because of this data that's out there, Would you? I mean, if you're Brian Flores, you just keep doing what you do, or do you change it up because it has not worked against Jared Goff?
I think he changes it up because when he was in New England, they changed it up for the Super Bowl and did something, you know, broke a tendency. And I bet they change it up. I bet he doesn't blitz him as much. I bet he doesn't blitz him.
Yeah, as much. One sack on 70 dropbacks. That's not getting home with a blitz.
Yeah. Okay. We talked earlier about how Minnesota leads the league in yards gained because of defensive pass interference calls. And Kang, you said the referee crew in this game is Brad Rogers?
Correct. Him and his boys.
Him and his boys have thrown more flags for defensive pass interference than any crew in the NFL.
Thing. Thing.
That's a it thing.
Might be, it might be a thing. Might be more of a thing than you want to give it credit for.
Now, Brad Rogers and his crew haven't worked every week. They've worked 14 weeks. They've thrown 24 defensive pass interference flags. Bill Vinovich's crew has worked 15 weeks and thrown 24 defensive pass interference calls. Brad Rogers' crew averages 1.7 DPIs per game. Yes, Minnesota leads the NFL in yards gained on DPIs. They also have the most yards gained on penalties, period. Minnesota with 1,136 yards gained in penalties is the most in the NFL and over 400 yards more than Detroit has gained. Like these, the DPI thing is starting to scare me a little bit.
A little bit. I mean, look, but they survived it the first time they played. There were three calls, whether it was defensive pass interference, illegal contact downfield, or defensive holding that went against the Lions, and they still won.
Yes. Yes.
Uncomfortably.
But
they won.
But this, right? This is feeling. If I were Minnesota, okay? If I were Minnesota and doing the show in Minneapolis, I'd love this crew.
Yes. You should.
And back then, when the Lions played the Vikings the first time, they had Carlton Davis.
Right. They had several players.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying for defensive back purposes.
No, I know. I'm just saying that there were other players that they don't have now that are available to them that they had in that game. Yes, and Carlton Davis is definitely one of those players. Will we see Emmanuel Mosley in this game where he wasn't there in the first time around? Maybe. He's been ill and has missed the last couple of days of practice. I think he missed yesterday. So let me just double check that. And indeed, he did not practice yesterday because of illness. But it feels like they need to get as many healthy bodies out there from the secondary as they can because of what they're up against. Because these receivers are awfully good. And we've known this for a couple of years. We've known this. You know, we've known it since Justin Jefferson got in the league. He was great, right? But before it was Jefferson and Thielen. Now it's Jefferson and Addison. And oh, by the way, Jalen Naylor's there. And oh, by the way, TJ Hockenson, who didn't play in the first game, is now there.
They got a munt.
And Aaron Jones, a running back. So they've got an offense, but it's nothing the Lions have not seen.
No, I mean, look, this is we're talking about things that are on the margins. Okay, we're talking about when you start getting down to the officiating crew and their frequency of calling certain flags. We're clearly wandering into the margins of things that may or may not matter in this game. It doesn't matter if the Lions defense shows up. It doesn't matter if the Lions offense doesn't punt. Like all these things that they can do, that these conversations we're having on the margins are only matter in a close game where, you know, it becomes a thing, where it can become a thing. You don't want it to be, but Alex Anzalone, by the way, yesterday was listed as full practice.
Yep.
And Aaron Jones was limited again. And that's a big deal. And there's another storyline, if I were doing the show in Minnesota, that I would be talking about. And it would be a concern. We will get to that today at 11:15. And more of your phone calls and predictions, 248-539-9797, 97.1 The Ticket. Back to your phone calls in a moment. All right, so if I'm doing this show in Minnesota and concerns heading into this game against the Detroit Lions, if I'm doing the show on, you know, the ticket in St. Paul, what should we, being the Vikings, be concerned about? We have not run the ball well lately. We, in our last three games, Chicago, Seattle, and Green Bay, have averaged 3.0, 3.4, and 2.7 yards per carry. 3.34 yards per carry in the last three games. Compare that to the league average. That would be the worst rushing attack in the NFL. Now, is three games enough to get worried about? I think three games is enough to think, what's going on here? What's going on here? So, you know, can they do it exclusively through the air? Probably. But as you look at, and we talk about all the time when we do this here in Detroit, is you're trying to be a complete team. You're trying to answer every question. I mean, if Minnesota has the ball late with a chance to run out the clock, can they? Can they run out the clock? If the Lions don't have to commit extra people to stopping the run and stop the run pretty effectively, they can commit extra people maybe to stopping the pass. Like, these are things that could, that we would be concerned about at 97.1 The Ticket in St. Paul. But we don't do the show in St. Paul. So three games, again, it's not the whole season, but it's the most recent data. And it's the three that just happened. Makes you wonder.
You think that's what's happening there?
I don't know how they program there, so I do not know.
Like Jesse the Body Ventura is there doing Minnesota radio, and I'm worried about the way we could run the football. You know, the way that things have gone, it just haven't, we haven't been able to get more than 3 yards to carry, and that's not going to get it done against this Detroit defense.
Yeah, I suspect it probably has come up. I don't know if they're talking about the Gophers, you know, playing Purdue tight for a half last night and then losing by 20. Maybe not.
Oh.
But,
and what the hell's happened to our hockey team? Things like that?
Yeah, I think they're probably focused in on this game. But I would say that would be something that would be discussed.
Yeah, well, and Aaron Jones he took a beating last game out against the Packers.
Yep.
Finished the game, but he was banged. Well, he actually didn't finish the game. He was banged up. And as you mentioned, limited in practice for the last 2 days. He'll suit up, I'm assuming, on Sunday night because the game means so much, and it's not like he's out of practice. Mm-hmm. But if you just become one-dimensional like that, then you do feel better about the Lions' chances. Although, you know, kind of, you know, if you had to pick your poison, you know, you're stopping the Vikings from running the ball might be the easy stop, but regardless, it's always going to be tough to cover that many receivers that they have.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this would be a lot more concerning for them if it were their passing game has fallen apart in the last 3 weeks. That would be a way bigger deal.
Yeah, I'd feel a lot better about that if in the last three games that Sam Darnold's thrown six interceptions and only averaged 220 yards passing per game and has got a completion percentage of 52. Yeah, that'd be fantastic. That's not the case?
No.
Oh.
248-539-9797. What the coordinators had to say at 11:30. Interesting stuff. In the meantime, let's go to Brian and Pinckney. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how are you guys doing today? What a pleasure and what an honor to speak to y'all.
Well, thank you for calling.
This purpose and preface of my call is to say I think the Lions will outscore them greatly in the first half. No, take that back and rewind that. The Lions are really going to struggle in the first half. They are. To my belief in understanding, the greater defense for Lions is a better offense. I mean, as you know, they dominate offensively. That's why I see it. Rewinding that back to time in the time is that Wayne Fonsley came through with 5,250. Just mediocre. And people praised him. I don't get me wrong. He came a long way. He did. Lions were basically the laughing stock of the franchise. Campbell came in there, basically, I can't remember exactly how long it took, but he came in with a team that was, 0-16? Come on, now. Campbell's been doing a great job. The team's been following his orders. Really good. He's a team players. Moving on from there, I'll say this to you, that his first half, it'll probably be 14-14. from there, the second half, I mean, as you know, the Vikings cannot rush for the darn. And Lions are mediocre today, so they have pretty good running game, to my knowledge. Moving on from there is that I predict in the second half, in the third quarter, it's going to be competitive. In the fourth quarter, in my prediction, predilection, and I'm ominous, is that what I see is that the Lions in the fourth quarter are going to open the floodgates. They're going to score the living daylights out of them.
I agree.
Score the living daylights?
248-539-9797. Manny in Detroit, you're next. Hi, Manny.
Hey, what's up, Doug and Gator?
Hey, Manny. Manny?
Hey, how you guys doing? My first time, long time listener. I've been listening to you guys since I was in my teen years.
Appreciate
but
it.
But I'm just glad to be on there. I just want to give my prediction. I think Vikings got something coming for them.
Do you?
And I think what's going to happen, what we wanted in San Francisco, is about to happen in Minnesota, in the Minnesota game. I think the Lions are about to stump a mud hole in the Vikings.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Lions win big.
And I think they're going to try to put some last points at the end. But it's going to come down to turnovers, protecting the ball, and running the ball. And we got to definitely stop the run. We stop the run with the Vikings, they're not going to be able to do nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I wish it was a bigger factor. They haven't run the ball that well. But, you know,
unless the referees try to screw us over, I mean, that's the only way I could see, you know, them beating us. But I think Ford Field is about to be off the chain. I think it's going to be.
Well, that I agree with.
And that's going to take them out the game. And we need this first time we get the ball, we need to stick it right down their throat.
Yeah, I think it would definitely behoove the Lions to get off to a good start offensively and obviously defensively too, because it feels like if you think it's going to be a shootout, every defensive stoppage you get feels like it's worth 14 points.
Yeah, I mean, I suspect that both teams in both towns are talking about stops.
Yeah.
And I've said this about a team like this, like the Lions. FGA is a huge stat. Field goal attempts. You got to hold them to field goal attempts.
Yeah. That's the bend but don't break part.
Yeah. I have no issue with bend but don't break defense. Inside and in front. But find a way to stiffen in the red zone and make them kick field goals.
While not doing the same thing yourself.
Right.
You got to convert for touchdowns, and the Lions have been very good at it. The first time around, both teams had a turnover. And the Vikings were able to convert the Lions' turnover. They took it for a touchdown on a fumble. I think it's fair to keep referencing the first time that these two teams played, because it was such an even game. Mm-hmm. And came down to a field goal at the end. And these teams are really evenly matched. And as you said, we imagine that Minnesota's talking about, at least Minnesota radio is talking about, how do we stop the Lions' offense? Can they get the stop? Which is more likely? That defense can stop the Lions' offense, or the Lions' defense can stop the Vikings' offense?
Well, I think the Lions' offense is better. I think the Vikings' defense is better. And so the, you know.
So here we go with white knuckle for four quarters.
Yep.
But when you think that's going to happen, it goes the other way, like Ohio State, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
You totally expected a tight game, and it was not even close. And we've seen that happen with the Lions games in the past too, where they just get off quickly and they're able to maintain. It'd be nice if they could do that again. Get off to a great start. You know, score 21 points in the first half.
But they actually didn't get off to a great start. That was the second quarter they scored 21 points.
No, I know. I'm saying we've seen it happen before this season within other games. But, they got down 10-0.
Yeah.
And then decided we're going to shut this team down a little bit while the offense gets back on track, and they did get on track.
The Lions have been great in the second quarter. I think they lead the league in point differential in the second quarter.
Yeah.
I rewatched the Lions-Viking game last night, the first one from this year. And this is sports. These are two very good teams, and you could break it down by position group, who's got the advantage here, who got the advantage there. But ultimately, it comes down to who shows up Sunday night, and you know what I mean, and who makes the play Sunday night. These are two 14-win teams. I'm not cocky at all. The Vikings can easily beat the Lions, and vice versa. who's going to implement their game plan, who's going to come out on top. I think what we saw with the Lions-Niners, I honestly think this is how the Lions, the rest of their season goes. They're going to have to outscore teams and have timely stops, timely turnovers, field goals instead of touchdowns given up. And that's just the way they're going to have to do it. I mean, they're so depleted on defense with injuries that everyone knows the offensive side of the ball is the elite side. Can they continue this for, you know, three more, four more games?
And Gator's right, too. Like, the second quarter stats for the Lions offensively, no team in football averages double-digit points in a quarter, except for the Detroit Lions in the second quarter. They averaged 13.2 points per game per second quarter, and nobody else in any quarter averages double digits. So, again, we are spending a lot of time in the margins of if this is a close game, some things that can make a difference. And the Lions exploded in the second quarter against the Vikings. Is there something to that? Does that speak to adjustments? Does it speak to, you know, understanding what a defense is doing early and making the appropriate adjustments?
I think it does.
Yeah.
I think in some respects it might be, hey, the Lions are trying to do some things in the first quarter. If it doesn't work, okay, we know what we can do. And that is adjustments. Ben Johnson's been great at doing that. And you get to the second half of games, too. The Lions overall as a team, whether it's Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn, whatever they say at halftime seems to work. You know, if they need to come back and they need some stops, the defense steps up and does it. If they need to do more offensively, stop turning the ball over, like the Houston game, they're able to do that. It's been an impressive run of 14-2 with all they've had to deal with. And this game on Sunday is just every minute we get closer to it, it just builds up intensity.
All right, so we mentioned earlier how Ben Johnson was a wide receiver coach in Miami when Brian Flores was hired as head coach. And he told Ben Johnson time to seek another job and moved on from him. And now Ben Johnson is calling plays as the offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions. And Brian Flores, the man who fired him, is the defensive coordinator in Minnesota. Ben Johnson got asked about that. Hear what he had to say today at 11:37. Plus more of your predictions. It is Carson Anderson on 97.1.
Hey, 24 Seconds Bar and Grill in Berkeley. It's my favorite place to go, and for good reason. If you're going to watch a game, any game, this place is amazing. They got flat screen, high definition TVs all throughout the place. Every seat's a great seat. They pipe in sound for the big games, and the food's amazing. Best wings in town, and the atmosphere is absolutely perfection. If you want to save the parking and the driving hassles of going to Sunday night's game versus Minnesota and all home playoff games, well, hop on the 24-second shuttle. You can have a drink on the way to the game, and it's only $40 round trip. And how about this Sunday? Well, that shuttle leaves at 6 o'clock. And for Sunday night's Detroit-Minnesota game, you get $4 Honolulu Blue shots. There's $5 hot dog combos, $6 if you want the brat combo. And here are drink specials, $3.75 for 20-ounce drafts and Miller Lite for all football games all day, every day. And all the specials on the Michigan-Michigan State basketball games, they got that too. Specials for the hockey and for basketball with $4 bottles of Blue and Blue Light. They got trivia back on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock. And 24 Seconds is also open for lunch on Thursdays and Fridays. That's awesome. And next week, college football semis and the NFL, the playoffs begin. This is where you want to be, 24 Seconds Bar and Grill, where the service is great, the food's even better. You can check out all the specials and happenings they have at 24secondsbar.com and grab a taste of the action for yourself. Again, my place, my favorite place to go, 24 Seconds Bar and Grill on 12 Mile in Berkeley.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 a ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Let's get back to your phone calls. We go to Glenn in St. Clair Shores. You're next. Hi, Glenn.
How you doing? Happy New Year to you guys.
You too.
A couple quick things. I'll give you my prediction. It's going to be a close game. Lions 36, Vikings 34. There's going to be a missed extra point in there, but we're going to get a couple field goals.
Oh, boy.
Uh-huh. And it's going to be a tight one, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And
extra point.
I was going to ask you guys, what do you think it does to the morale of Kirby Joseph when
Dan Campbell that says, I love you guys. I believe in you guys. You know, go bite kneecaps, do this, do that, and then you don't vote for your own guy. What do you think that does to his morale?
I don't know that you're allowed to.
A Viking game.
Are you allowed to vote for your own guy?
You know what? That's a good question. I don't know that.
I don't think you are.
But he said that in his press conference that he voted for the other guy, didn't vote for his own guy. So I don't know if that's does anybody, you guys know that?
I don't know if you can, and I didn't hear that he voted for the other guy, but if you can't vote for your own guy, you got to vote for somebody. Right. I think it's hard.
Well, it says, yes, coaches are allowed to vote for their own players. I didn't hear that he said that. Where did he say that?
It was on a press conference. I saw it on YouTube this morning, and he said, he goes, you know, I watch a lot of game films. I'm voting for a complete player. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you got a complete player on your team. And my thought was, if I'm Kirby and I go out and play this Viking game and my coach just says he believes in me and loves me and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But
I'm sure there's a lot of players. You can't vote for all your own guys. And I'm sure he would tell all his players he believes in them and loves them. I'm doing a Google search on Dan Campbell vote here and nothing is coming up. I'm voting for the Pro Bowl. So I don't know. I don't want to comment on it until we can confirm what you say is true. Another thing on a Google search said that you can vote for your own players. So let me see what, I got a quote here about Kirby Joseph being left off from Dan Campbell. Man, he came up in a big way. Not just the picks he had, some critical tackles. He just really showed up for us. I don't know. I don't know that this is. I want to be careful here because I don't want to create something where there's nothing there. But see what we can find out. See what we can find out. But you can't vote for everybody on your
team. Kind of feels like that would be front page news.
Kind of.
But if it's on YouTube, Doug.
Well, I'm always leery, and we have learned and been burned before that stuff on the internet. It's not 100% true. Just saying. And so I don't know that he actually said that. And there's some people here. I'm just looking down some of the feedback saying that people saying that that's not true, but I don't know. We'll see if we can find out. In the meantime, said we get to this, let's do it. Coordinator spoke yesterday. Huge game coming up on Sunday, right?
Yes.
Let's start with Ben Johnson, Lions offensive coordinator. Jamison Williams moving in on 1,000 yards. Ben Johnson discusses the development of his young receiver. He is a difference maker that has really come into his own at the right time. And, you know, everything we hoped he would be, it's been a little bit of a slow journey to the top or to where he is now with a few hiccups along the way. But it's been working out pretty well for JMO.
Well, it's clear they trust him.
Yep.
Because he's way more involved in the offense this year than what we've seen in the past. And like you heard him say there in the second half of the season, it feels like they're really going to him. They're trying to get him touches in the running game and end of rounds. And he is somebody that teams are clearly aware of because it's not like he's taking off and getting that sweep handoff and taking it upfield for 60 yards every time. It feels like, and it seems like teams are well prepared for it. They're ready to snuff it out, and he's still able to get yards most of the carries, but they haven't been these huge successful plays that you would expect. What is successful is when Goff has time and Jamo can drag across the field, that he gets the separation, and he's a big play waiting to happen. And the fact that he's averaging whatever it is, 19 yards a reception, is amazing.
Okay, circling back here to the previous caller, two things. One reporter who covers the team is Will Birchfield. He says, yeah, he never said that. He hasn't even talked to the media or the morning show since the votes came out. So that's one. He never said it. Two is, Dave Burkett just texted you, Kang.
Yeah.
And said?
Said coaches cannot vote for their own players for the Pro Bowl.
Okay.
There you go.
That guy, whatever he saw, he didn't see.
Well, he might have seen
it. Didn't he say he saw it on YouTube or press? Yeah.
I mean.
Of Dan Campbell saying he didn't vote for his own guy?
Or was just some vlogger that voiced his own opinion on it. I don't know.
Could have been AI. It just got to be so. I'm not expecting. It's what's made our jobs exceedingly difficult to sift through some of the bullshit. The
Whoa.
Uncensored.
My bad. Came close there. Some of the BS that's out there.
Oh, boy. Yeah, there's some of that.
Yeah, so that's not a thing. Not a thing.
Not a thing.
Not a thing.
Not even a thing.
But back to the Jameson Williams cut, though. We all talk lately about all the, you know, subtractions that they've had on defense, the injuries. I think Jameson Williams is like an addition they didn't have last year. I mean, he came on late last year. This year, it's a full season, and yes, he's got the speed. We all know about it. Ben Johnson actually mentions later in the press conference his superpower is speed. But now he's also able to make the other catches.
Yeah.
He has a different route tree. It's just not go deep or end around sweep. He can do a lot more now.
There are some plays where he drops the ball, and you're like, come on, man. But then it feels like there are more plays, and he makes the catch, and you're like, wow.
How many times has he made a tough catch this year where we're like, wow, nice catch, hanging on, right?
Many times. And he is, he's been very explosive, as you would expect, because of that speed. But he's more than just a speed
without
receiver.
Question.
He's on his way to a 1,000-yard season, right? I don't think he's that far away from it. And
967 yards.
When you talk about the difference in the offense last year and this year, he is the difference. Because they had Josh Reynolds last year, but I sure like Tim Patrick. And raise your hand if you like Tim Patrick. He's done a great job with this team. And blocking downfield has been a big part of that. You know, St. Brown is as steady as it comes. It's why he's one of the best in the league. And now you've got Jameson Williams chiming in on the verge of a 1,000-yard season, which is awesome for a guy in year three, which is really year two for him.
Last year in the postseason, he got 9 targets in 3 games. This year he's averaging 6 targets a game. Like and of late, it's been the workload has picked up. It really has. This guy is, you know, as far as what's the difference between this Lions team this year and last year, the use of Jameson Williams is one of them. All right, so I mentioned we'd get to it. Here's Ben Johnson on his connection with Brian Flores when Flores took the job and head coaching position in Miami, and Ben Johnson was let go as wide receiver coach. Now they face off again. Here's what Ben Johnson had to say about it. Did you hear the undercurrent of F that guy? I'm running up the score. Did you hear that? I clearly heard that.
I no undercurrent. It was obvious.
We're joking. We're completely joking. Because now somebody's going to call. Did you hear that Ben Johnson said F that guy? No. I kind of well handled by him. So is that a thing or not a thing? Based upon Ben Johnson's response, it sounds like to him it's not a thing. 248-539-9797.
It may not be. Listen, outwardly, these guys aren't going to give him anything. But inwardly, do I think it matters? I sure want to believe it. I want to believe he's got something to prove.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys remember the first matchup? They really hyped Flores versus Ben Johnson because Flores, you know, has done great things with the Vikings defense. We know what Ben Johnson's done here. It's kind of like I don't even want to call it a side matchup. They're like elevating it to part of the matchup. These two guys going at it.
Sure,
it's good to be the main event.
I think the other thing about Brian Flores, and we discovered this yesterday when it came to Cliff Kingsbury in Chicago and what a perfect fit he is for the Bears job. I think Brian Flores is perfect for the New Orleans job, don't you?
I think it'd be great for New Orleans.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Absolutely
perfect. You want to go to a defensive guy? Why wouldn't you go with Brian Flores?
Brian Flores, I would, yes, absolutely.
That's twofold right there.
Yeah.
That's get him out of the division.
It's perfect.
And stop Aaron Glenn from leaving.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Oh, no, you weren't thinking
that? I didn't even think
about that. No.
Straight ahead, Ben Johnson talks about Jared Goff in the season he is having, and later, can you win a Super Bowl playing defense the way the Lions play? Hear what Aaron Glenn had to say. It is Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. All right, Detroit, get ready to show some grit. Show Some Athletic Apparel has dropped a limited edition grit line of long sleeve performance shirts and hoodies. Show Some is high quality, a Michigan-based athletic apparel company, and the clothes they make are built to last. I've got some. I love them. It's high quality, and you can feel it when you put it on. And just like our football team, you don't take days off or sit on the sidelines. You work. You show up. Show Some Athletic Apparel respects that, and their new grit line arrived just in time for a playoff push. Blue, black, and gray. Good-looking stuff. Use the discount code GRIT at checkout. Go to showsomerespect.com. That's S-H-O-S-U-M, respect.com.
Welcome back to Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. Taking your calls and texts, 248-539-9797. We get closer and closer to this game on Sunday night, and the intensity is just building and building and building. I can't imagine. I mean, I can't imagine what it's going to be like. I think it's going to exceed what my expectations are for Sunday night at Ford Field and how electric that building is going to be. That it's a Sunday night game, 8:20 kick. People are going to be downtown earlier. They're going to treat this like it's a playoff game. It could very well be the last time they play at home if they lose this game.
That's a weird thought.
It is a weird thought because the season has been so amazing for this team. I still can't believe they've gone through this with all the injuries, and here they are with 14 wins, looking for a 15th win to finish off the season, which would be fantastic. It's just where it is. Apparently, we've had some people say that when the guys talked to Dan Campbell on a morning show this week, that he had mentioned something about voting for Pro Bowl guys, but of course he can't vote for his own guys. So if somebody wants to take that as meaning he didn't vote for his guy, he can't. He cannot.
Yeah, Dave Burkhead also texts me, and then a bunch of texts are coming in as well that they're pretty sure that was the Dan Campbell's interview with the morning show, talk about how he votes for the Pro Bowl, and just like you said, Gator, he clearly can't vote for his own player, so he's not going to describe how voting for Kirby Joseph or anybody else because he can't vote for them. And so this is how misinformation gets spread, by the way.
Yeah.
Not a thing.
Not a thing.
By the way, lunch today smells good.
Does it?
Yes.
Yeah, yesterday. Now hold on. We need to circle back to yesterday because I brought in some food yesterday. Gator said it was the most pungent thing I've ever brought in.
I said in the top five in the 18 years we've done the show. It's
and
top
so
five.
We lit the candle, and then I said yesterday, I'm going to have the best smelling candle possible. And I brought it in today, and am I right?
I mean, you might be right. I'm not going to argue with the candle.
Tell the people what the flavor, the smell of the candle is labeled as.
Smells like Rip Wheeler.
That was the scent of the candle.
From Yellowstone.
That's the name of the candle,
the
right?
The name of the candle smells like Rip Wheeler.
I mean, and Rip smells good. Rip smells good.
Do you imagine this is what Rip would smell like?
Not at all. I did not. Right. Did not expect that to be Rip, but maybe that's what Rip smells like after he's rolled around with Beth for a while, and it smells good.
Whoa.
Well, she's perfumed, what? And it's got a little like fresh scent to it, like soapy scent to it. Well, perfume me.
I gotta tell you, if I would have, I'm not sure Beth smells good.
Let's get into it. I think she does. I think Beth's taking care of herself. She's well put together, despite the fact that she's been through hell and back and hell and back and hell and back.
She drinks a lot. She smokes a lot.
Now, the smoking, I agree with that. Okay, maybe there's a bit of an ashtray that follows her around, but I think she's also one of those people that as soon as she's done, starts spraying the perfume so that, and without it being too much, just enough to mask the scent of the Marlboros.
I'm not buying.
Is that a hint of Newport?
Yeah.
Gator. Hey, don't ruin his dream, Doug. In his mind, she smells great.
Right. I mean,
Doug's mind not so much.
I think what's so funny about this.
I don't want to think of a world where I don't want to be Rip Wheeler.
Beth in the real world would be like the worst girlfriend ever.
Yeah. Be fun, though, for a while. until you find yourself on the wrong side of the train station. But,
which is, I mean, Rip can handle Beth, apparently. You think you're man? No, you're not.
No, not even close. No, no.
For those that don't watch Yellowstone, this is completely lost on you.
It's the Rip Show.
All right, let's get back to the sound of the Lions coordinators. Jared Goff. Ben Johnson talks about Jared Goff. And the truth is, in his opinion, he is what's making this off.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Friend's so special. It's a lot of the things that can't be measured at a combine. That the quarterback play is so dependent on the ability to read a defense, to quickly process information after the ball is snapped, and to be able to use that. Because, like, if you think about a non-mobile quarterback in this day and age to be as good as he is, you have to be so good pre-snap and in the 1.6 seconds you have to make a decision and deliver the football.
Well, the greatest quarterback of all time, Tom Brady, was not mobile.
Nope.
And you could argue that certainly when Joe Montana was making things happen with San Francisco, that he wasn't mobile at that point anymore. You know, some of the greatest quarterbacks you've ever seen in the National Football League, Dan Marino, Dan Fouts, these guys were not mobile. And it is everything else. It's the ability to process that's most impressive. And I don't know how they're able to determine that. You can do interviews and say, what happens if this happens and this happens? It's easy to recite because you can just do that. But until you see it in a game, it's not really tangible. And it is fleeting, too? Because look at like what C.J. Stroud was a year ago as a rookie. Mm-hmm. Came in and lit the world on fire. My God, was he good. And then this year, what? What happened to C.J. Stroud?
Right.
So what Jared Goff has been able to do, and it's, you know, starts off as a rookie season, and then by year three, he's taken his team to the Super Bowl, but then fell out of favor. Whether it was a lack of confidence that he had, or certainly that the coach had in him, but then to build it back up here in Detroit like he has, where he has gotten appreciably better almost with every game. I know it's not every game, but it's like segments. You know, that first half of the first season here, not good. Second half of that first season, very good. The next season, really good. Next season, really good. I mean, he's been absolutely incredible. The growth we've seen out of Jared Goff, the maturation under the guidance of Ben Johnson and Dan Campbell.
So you mentioned all the greats that were not mobile, right?
Yeah.
But that was in a different era, too. Imagine doing that now in this era. That's why it's so impressive what Goff is doing.
That's why Tom Brady is still the guy there because, and obviously Peyton Manning is another one, yeah.
Yeah, but now everyone's mobile. Like, at least even a little bit. Brock Purdy, whoever, a guy who's not running quarterback but can move elusive. Yeah. Goff's not that guy. He's so cerebral. Like, Flores says this week, he praised Goff. Like, he knows where his receiver is supposed to be. He knows where the ball is supposed to go. He knows where the defense is going to line up. He knows all this stuff so beyond what, regular quarterbacks are. That's why he's so successful. We're so lucky to have him running Ben Johnson's offense.
It's really weird that I've come to appreciate an offense where the quarterback basically goes out and executes the play as it's drawn up. This is not a real stat, but I would suspect that the Lions' offensive improvisation percentage is low. that most plays that the Lions run are as they're designed. Even if it's not the first option, you deliver to the second and third, but you don't see him like the scramble drill. And, if you're the quarterback, what is it? If you're deep, you run towards the quarterback. And if you're shallow, you run deep. And all these things that we've heard about, we see teams execute. It just doesn't feel like there's a lot of a high improvisation percentage when it comes to the Lions offense. I always say football players aren't chess pieces, but offensively the Lions are closer to being chess pieces than any team I remember being successful at doing it,
It's an impressive run.
All right. Aaron Glenn spoke as well and answered questions. What have you missed most with Alex Anzalone? And why he thinks this defense has still been effective and good, even though the stats suggest otherwise. Hear what he has to say at noon straight up. We go inside Allen Park with the Birchie kid at 12:30. Last chance for Dan Campbell to meet with the media and to see them as they go into their final practice prior to this huge game with Minnesota. We'll talk some college football in the second half of the show. We got to talk about the end of last night's Red Wing game, which was wild. It is Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Running an online business is hard enough without the stress and time consumption of managing hosting. Whether managing one WordPress site or dozens, Kinsta's managed solutions offer speed, enterprise-grade security, and an intuitive dashboard. With 24/7 365 human-only expert support, get peace of mind that your sites stay online, secure, and performing their best. Start today and get your first month free with migrations handled for you. Learn more at kinsta.com/podcast. That's KINSTA.com/podcast.